Hello there, guys, and welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week, I'm joined once again by Tonya Todd. Now, if you tuned in last week, you will already know that Tonya came on the show and we spoke about superheroes a lot. This is part two of that very same chat, and the conversation doesn't really change much there. We talk about superheroes in this chat and villains, the upcoming Marvel TV series, Star Wars, and a few other things here and there. There are spoilers for like Avengers Endgame and stuff, but I would presume if you've already heard part one, you would understand that. But just for clarity, obviously, if you haven't seen these films by now and you want to, for some reason, hear people talking about them at length, be warned there are some degree of spoilers. Tonya also came on Genuine Chit Chat on episode 97. That was kind of the same realm of theme in a lot of ways. We were talking about superhero things and movies and etc. However, we were talking about diversity and representation in episode 97. We had so much fun there, we decided we want to do another podcast where we just chatted about the superhero stuff, but without the sort of political driving stuff behind it. Because although those things are important, it's not always as fun as it can be to talk about just superhero films without having to worry about all those things. So if you want to hear a more serious chat about superheroes and diversity and things like that, check out episode 97 of Genuine Chit Chat. But if you just are happy to continue listening to the chat where we talk about superheroes and no other sort of political stuff, this is the chat for you. I'll include a link in the description to Tonya's website, as well as some articles she wrote that we discussed in part one. And she also mentions a book called The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli. I've written that in the show notes as well, in case anyone wants to sort of take a look at that book as well. There's no promo today, but I will say that I was introduced to Tonya by the company Now Hear This. On episode 99, I had a gentleman called Bruce Wozniak on. He is the creator and founder of Now Hear This, as well as the podcast Now Hear This Entertainment. He got me and Tonya introduced, as well as another guest that I should be recording with next week. So, you know, go check out Now Hear This Entertainment, the podcast and the company Now Hear This. I think that's relatively it for the intro for me, guys. Make sure you follow on the usual social media places. Make sure you review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to this, because it really helps the show out. And share to people you like. Maybe even share to people you don't like. I'm not really that fast. Just share to people who can listen to the show. Anyway, guys, I will be back at the end just to talk about what's coming up and all that usual jazz. So really hope you enjoy the show. Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton. What are your thoughts about the upcoming the variety of series? With, you know, you've got, I think, WandaVision, Loki, Falcon and the Winter Soldier. There might be another one I'm forgetting.
There is another one, and I don't remember what it is. Oh, it's What If, isn't it?
That is a series, yes. I hope that's the MCU What If. I feel like there...
It is.
There is definitely a What If series. And it...
And
it
so, I'll tell you. I'm curious about the WandaVision one. I mean, with the whole, are they going to dabble in the House of M aspect? You know, I don't know what they're going to do with her.
Hmm.
So, I'm definitely going to watch all of these things.
Okay, yeah.
I am excited for the boys getting together, and you know, they're both the sidekicks. Now they're going to have their own show together.
And they hate each other, and that's the best part.
I will watch
respect
but... anything Loki, but same thing with Black Widow. I'm worried that they're going to weaken him by overexposing him.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I love this version of Loki, but I think that some characters are stronger in smaller doses because you don't give away all of their secrets and all of their baggage. And this one has been really challenging to stay away from spoilers. It's like, I don't want to hear anything that's happening with the show. I want it to be a surprise. But there are certain actors that I follow. And so finding out that, oh, she's cast in this, like, oh, what is she going to do? I don't want to know. I don't want to know. And then the added torture of lockdown preventing them from finishing filming. Like, what's going to change? Or when are they going to finish?
Hmm.
I used to want them, you know, when they used to do the, what is it? It's like they used to do 10-minute films for Marvel, like a one-off or something like that.
What, not the 90s or something?
No, it was around the time that they... When did Iron Man come out?
I believe it was 2005. It was either 2005 or 2008.
So then I guess it was in the the 2000s that they used to do this stuff, where they would have these 10-minute Marvel films.
2008.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I guess it was then. And that's what I wanted to see for Loki, is like these 10-minute films where you just get this small story, but it doesn't delve into all this stuff. And I don't want them to do a gratuitous romantic relationship with him. I think he's better without a romance.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to sap the power out of Loki's strength. Now, I would like to see a romantic element if it's Lady Loki, because Loki is... he is a bisexual character. They just don't reference it very much. And because he's a shapeshifter, he is the ultimate gender fluid character.
That's a good point.
So I would be interested to see how the male version maybe reacts to someone the female version falls for.
Ah, interesting.
Because if he can switch back and forth, and he has, it's just, that's one of the things that I might do, is to like enter that element. And then, you know, if he's bisexual, he's bisexual when he's male and when he's female. So the love interest could be male or female. That doesn't matter to me, but I would like to see how both versions respond to this love interest when that love interest may not realize that's the same person, just in a different gender right now.
That could be, if they did that right, that could be very, definitely very intriguing thing to do. I mean, I haven't really looked into much about WandaVision, Loki, or Falcon and Winter Soldier. I haven't, because I'm like you in certain ways, where I try not to look at, you know, when they go, oh, 50 new photos have been released from set. So I don't want to see any of them.
No, don't want to see it.
I'll normally see a trailer, primarily if people are talking about it a lot, and specifically elements of the trailer. Like whenever a Star Wars film comes out, I have to watch the trailer, because I genuinely get so much ruined from the trailer of people just talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whenever anything happens, it's like, oh, new Star Wars, did you see the Dark Rey thing? And I'm like, well, no, but she's not going to be Dark Rey, is she? It's just not going to happen, because they wouldn't put it in the trailer otherwise. And now I already know that aspect of it.
Right.
I now have to watch the trailer to reaffirm my own. So it's annoying in that regard. So with those three series, I'm not even sure if I'm going to watch them, if I'm honest. Not out of like spite or anything like that, but it's more, there are so many shows at the moment, and it's so hard to keep on top of my, you know, all the DC movies, the Marvel movies, the Star Wars movies, which are now, there's going to be a billion Star Wars series, which I'm happy about, but Star Wars for me takes precedent over almost everything else regarding consumption of media.
Did you watch The Mandalorian?
Yes, I did.
Okay, so that's worth watching, and it doesn't steal anything from the original series.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think, that Falcon and Winter Soldier, that can be a great episodic show where they just go on adventures, where it's not going to delve too much into their histories and weaken their characters. I think that has the potential to be a wonderful episodic series. I feel like they're not going to go that route with Wanda and Vision and with Loki. But, you know, I'm staying away from spoilers. I have no idea what the storylines are going to be.
Yeah, I don't know either. I've seen one screenshot of WandaVision. I won't say what it is for you, but I don't know. From what I've heard, and I don't know any proper spoilers, so I won't tell you. I don't know any plot details or anything, but vaguely is just, I know WandaVision is going to be weird. That's a word that's been
thrown around. It's probably going to be a world she creates. That would be my guess, just based on her portrayals in the comics, is that she goes mental and creates her own world to stay safe and make it happy for herself to the detriment of others. But she's going to be the protagonist in this. So I don't know what's the conflict going to be? Having to deal with reality?
Yeah. I mean, one issue I've a flag issue that I've got is, I don't want the series to take away from the MCU. But I also don't want the opposite in a way. So to elaborate, it's like, you know, there's the series Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which I haven't watched personally. Have you seen the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
I watched the beginning of it, and then I stopped watching it.
I've heard that from most people. And there's also Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter as well, which is set, that's Steve, or Captain America's love interest, Peggy, I think.
Right, Peggy Carter.
Yeah, I think it's her when she was an agent, which you see in certain flashbacks. I think you see it in Captain America and Ant-Man. I think you see her briefly. It might be Ant-Man 2 or Ant-Man 1. You see some sort of flashback.
And that one I didn't watch because I didn't have access to it.
Yeah, and then I know Ghost Rider gets in at some point, but I haven't seen those. But from what I've heard about them, and people say they do kind of just trail off, but there's so many episodes and there's so much filler that it's just too much content.
Right. Like, I don't want a monster of the week. I want there to be an overriding storyline with these episodes in it. But
yes,
the thing with Falcon and Winter Soldier, that I think could do well as just, that is the one that could do well as a monster of the week thing, because we'd really just want to see these guys fighting.
Yeah.
And developing a friendship as they go along.
Yeah, of course. My worry is that it depends how they play the characters' involvement in the MCU. If they just say, look, Loki, Wanda, and Falcon Soldier, they're just not going to be in the next, say there's another, the next phase of the MCU, say it's phases 5, 6, and 7 for this next big arc, whatever that's going to be. If they said, look, none of those characters are even going to appear at all, either until the very last phase or at all, mm-hmm. then I'd be okay with it. And what I don't want to happen is there'd be a film that comes out.
Oh, that you can't understand if you didn't watch the television series.
Exactly. But I also don't want the opposite, which is I don't want what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I heard from a lot of fans of it. They basically said the problem is that it built up a storyline and then something big would happen in an Avengers movie and it would, the storyline wouldn't be able to continue in the way that I think the showrunners may have wanted initially. So they were always playing catch up to the MCU because that's the big films.
Mm-hmm.
And there's essence of that in certain Star Wars content, but it's not too much. And I worry about that being, because when you want to have this giant universe, you want everything interconnecting and stuff.
But right, and you want it to fit.
Yeah, but you don't want it to make it so tightly fit, you have to read and consume everything to make things make sense, but you also want things to be able to stand alone. And I think what the MCU has done in this regard is fine, but I think Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. have suffered. And I don't want Falcon and Winter Soldier to come into it and then them suddenly be completely different people, and you'd be like, who the heck? Why are they acting like this?
But right.
If they don't do that.
What, they're married? When did that happen?
That would be incredible. They've got a little kid as well, they've adopted.
Right. Oh.
But, you know, and I don't want the show to then be weakened by not being able to push the boundaries. The worry is nothing bad, truly bad, is ever going to happen to Falcon or Winter Soldier. Because in theory, right. And unless they've already said we're not having them in the MCU at all for the foreseeable future, neither of them can die. And that is a big problem with prequels as well. It's like, right. As soon as you do that, you just go, well, if they're ever in any danger and it's just the two of them, you know for a fact they're going to get out fine.
That was part of the problem with Captain Marvel. It's like, we know all these characters survive. Like, there's no tension. And she's overpowered. And, oh, the big problem is this overpowered character could have more power. Oh, wow.
But you're the biggest fan of Captain Marvel. How could you say that?
I had I didn't have high hopes. I had very low expectations, but there was that kindling of hope that please, please prove me wrong and make this a good film. And it doesn't matter how incredible the actors are. It just was not well written. It was not a good film. They had all this music in there that was after the time that they were doing. And if you realize that, you're not paying attention to the story. They put holes in the MCU. Like, that is not what happened with the Tesseract. That negates other things that happened. And there's no explanation for it. Like, not possible, people. And then don't even get me started on Nick Fury's eye.
I'm interested now. What is it? Because for the whole MCU, it's been such this buildup of what could it be? Or there's mystery.
Right. And it's just something that's so pathetic and silly. Like, oh, really? They're keeping that. They're keeping that, you know? No.
I thought it was going to get scratched and then it was going to heal up and then it was going to be something happened after the Captain Marvel stuff that made him get his eye and you still don't know.
But, right.
Yeah.
It would have been better to just tease like you thought it was going to be this, but no, it wasn't. No, they gave you exactly what you thought it was going to be. There's no surprise. Good stories need surprises.
Did you read any of Captain Marvel comics? Like, I'd never even heard of her until the end of Infinity War when I was with a mate and we watched the post-credit scene and he was like, oh, that's Captain Marvel symbol. And I was like, who, sorry? And I had to look up who they were from the end of Infinity War. So I had no idea.
So I had seen her in cartoon versions first.
Yeah.
So animated versions. And I wasn't a fan then. It's like, oh, she just thinks she's so amazing. And she's one of those characters you want someone to take down a peg, you know? Because at least Superman is nice. It makes him corny, but he's likable. You don't want bad things to happen to him because he's not walking around all arrogant like, I'm Superman. Having said that, I love the dark side Superman. Like, he's hot. Because he's not a goody-goody.
Rooting for the villains.
Yeah, all the time.
Some of the villains are some of the best characters. I mean, it is one of those things, like Star Wars. One of the big reasons Star Wars, I think, was such a hit is because that's one of the most iconic villains of all time, which is Darth Vader. You've got Dark Knight. What's the first thing people say when you mention Dark Knight? I love the Joker in it, which they're not wrong.
Right.
But that is Thanos, you know, the reason that Infinity War is such an amazing movie is everyone, when we came out of the cinema, saw it, we were like, that film was half Avengers, half Thanos, and it's perfect.
Really? That one was his film. Infinity War was his film. He was the protagonist, and he won.
That's a very good way of putting it, actually. That's a very interesting way of framing it, yeah. I mean, there's a subreddit called Thanos Did Nothing Wrong, which is quite funny.
Yeah.
did you see that Josh Brolin did a click for them?
No, I didn't.
They contacted Josh Brolin, or someone did, or he caught wind of it, and he did this thing. It was last year, I think, now, or... ethereal, but essentially they managed to get Josh Brolin, and he just did like a little Snapchat video of him, and he said okay Reddit, and he clicked, and when they did that, they banned half of their followers on Reddit.
That is so cool.
And they said they only did it to people who have either commented or posted, so it's if you're an active person, you have to be aware that you could get banned. But I just thought that was so brilliant. It's one of those weird little niche internet things, and it's like, I love it. And Josh Brolin was so happy to do it as well. Right. It was great.
Yeah, he's a good sport.
Yeah. What are we talking about? We're talking about villains. Captain Marvel. And I heard some rumblings. I can't remember if we spoke about this before, but I heard some rumblings that Brie Larson had some demands for Kevin Feige and the Marvel creative team, and that she got apparently all of her demands met for the next phase of the MCU, which that has to be taken with a pinch of salt. I don't know what that could necessarily mean, but I know a lot of what she wanted, which this isn't necessarily a bad thing, is a lot more equality, mainly gender equality and things like that. Once again, obviously I'm not a bigot. I'm okay with that. But what I worry is, what's the term? I think it's affirmative action almost, where it's like, you kind of skip a step instead of being like, let's create these nuanced, so I think we spoke about before a bit, where it was like, you know, you want complex characters, you don't want stereotypes, because if you just bring in loads of stereotypes, you'll be actually not helping at all.
Right, you're causing more damage.
Yeah, but I know that I think from what I've heard, once again, is that Captain Marvel's basically going to be the Iron Man of the next phase of the MCU.
So I had not heard that, because when I see those headlines, I steer clear of them because I don't want spoilers about what's to come.
Do you think that was that a spoiler for you?
Yeah.
Okay, I won't talk about it anymore. I'm sorry. It's more of a rumor than anything, but
I think I understand the place where she's coming from, but since I don't know what the demands are, I can't have an opinion on them.
No, I don't have the. I don't know what the demands are either.
I want more women and marginalized people behind the scenes. It could be something like that and have nothing to do with the storylines.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't know anything about this, I'm not going to keep asking if you know things and spoil things, I promise. I will ask you if you don't know about this, I will not speak about it any further. Do you know anything at all about the next Thor film?
Yes, I know anything at all about it. I know. Well, your fans know that there's a spoiler warning, right? It's like, I don't even want to say it. I don't want to spoil it for anybody. I know that Jane is supposed to be the next Thor.
Mm-hmm. That was a thing I thought, but I was like, I don't want to spoil it for you just in case. So
I wonder, how do you have a Thor movie without Loki?
Well, how'd you have a Loki series without Loki?
Well, that's because it's the version that went back in time.
Is that actually what it is?
That's my guess. He took off with the Tesseract. That opens up the door for him having it. Like, my guess is they're going to start with the version that took off in Endgame, the one that grabbed the Tesseract and disappeared.
I did wonder about that, but I thought when I saw that bit, I was like, either I'm dumb and I've missed something, or this is so complex it's gone straight over my head. And it was neither. It was a different version of him. Well, obviously, multiverses in the comic book realm, multiverses, especially in the Marvel, Marvel and DC, there's so many multiverses and things that does alternate realities, alternate versions of themselves make sense. But I don't know how much ground of that they've gone into in the MCU, if at all, or if that is the first step.
I don't know either. And I'm realizing, I don't know if this is just something I've made up. This could just be something I've decided is the likely case because I avoid spoilers. I don't know what their plan is, but that's what makes sense to me is there's a Loki series. They killed him off. It must be the version that took off in one of those timelines. Which means that anything there won't affect the current MCU because he's not part of this timeline anymore.
Maybe. Yeah.
Or maybe he will affect it, and that will be part of the story, that you're affecting the current timeline, and you can't do that because you're not supposed to be here. Who knows?
Oh, wouldn't it be funny if he has to go, and then in his new timeline, he has to go and do all the heroic things that the Avengers had to do because something he did caused such a massive ripple that he ends up, it would destroy the universe as you know it. Like,
right.
So he has to go back in time and do all these good things that he doesn't want to do to make it so, oh, that'd be incredible.
I mean,
well, I haven't looked into
frequently in the comics, he's the reason all these things go poorly, and then he's the hero that saves it in the end. Because, well, I didn't mean for all this to happen. I just wanted this to happen. Because as smart as he is, he's also impulsive.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I'm just like, yeah, because I remember that scene in Endgame. The thing is, I love when time travel gets into things and it's done tastefully. But sometimes I know they do address it fairly standard in Endgame, but you get the whole paradox thing, you know, which is the standard, you know. Once you go back in time to stop something happening, then that version of yourself could, that thing wouldn't have happened, and therefore that version of yourself could never have gone back in time to stop it in the first place.
Right.
So then that's when it kind of does the multiverse thing where things start to kind of splinter off and split. I think that's what Hulk says in Endgame. It's like, our version of Thanos now, we haven't got rid of the other version of Thanos. It's I'm explaining it terribly. This is what I mean. I only vaguely understand it.
Science.
Well, I understand science to a degree. Generally makes sense. But when you get into woohoo science, you know,
in time travel and...
Yeah, I mean, I love Star Wars to bits. But if you try and make sense of half the stuff that happens in it, you're just going to hurt yourself. Because it doesn't. Hyperspace doesn't make sense. It just doesn't. But it's a fun little thing to have in sci-fi movies. It just makes sci-fi films cooler.
I am reading this book I want to get the name of it right, that is about time. And it's one of those things I added to my list and just started reading. And then it was like, wait a minute, is this fiction or nonfiction? Because it's reading like nonfiction and what it's talking about is crazy. And it is a nonfiction book. It's called The Order of Time by Carlo Rovelli.
The Order of Time. What's it about?
Well, one of the things that's blowing my mind is the concept that time moves differently depending on your elevation.
Yeah, I heard about that. I think if you explained it, sorry.
Well, I can't explain it yet, and I'm not done with the book. I'm just at the beginning of it. But it's, you know, I thought I was just going to listen to some story in the background, and no. This is a what? I need to take notes and pay attention and highlight this and... I am in over my head. I didn't know that this was going to be a study book. And how is this going to make its way into my fiction somehow?
Yeah, I think what I vaguely know about that, because I've read a few things about it, it's to do with gravity, I think. And it's with elevation. Because it's basically like if you fall into a black hole, then time works differently. Because I think the idea that space-time is an actual thing, space-time as one word is an actual thing, and it's something to, you know, time is affected by gravity in some ways and other things.
Right, and that, and then, you would age more quickly at a different, that at a higher elevation than you would at a lower elevation. It's just, yeah. That means that two people born in the same spot, you know, like twins, could move and be different ages when they meet up again.
Yeah, and I'm pretty certain there's something even like if you take a pocket watch and if you go to like whatever the sea level is, you know, you go to sea level, mm-hmm. and then you go to the top of a mountain with both the watches, and I can't remember it's some amount of milliseconds over days, I think the difference is, but it's something like over like a decade, the times will actually be out of sync by a certain amount of seconds. It's really weird. And it's just one of those phenomenons that people in that book are trying to explain. People far smarter than, I mean, I can't even remember, like, you know, I couldn't remember the name of more than one actor in the Batman, more than two actors in the Batman trailer. So trying to wrap my head around space time and age elevation and all these sorts of other crazy things.
You didn't do too badly.
The problem is with me is I have, how is it defined? An approximate knowledge of most things. So I can have a conversation on most things by someone being the expert and then me being able to bounce questions off by having an understanding enough to keep things going. But as soon as I get asked, what is your opinion on, like, what do you know about black holes? It's like, I don't bloody know. If I talk to someone who knows about black holes, I can have a conversation with them. But if you ask me what I know, it's like, fuck all. You can't see them. We're not really sure they exist, but there's evidence that they do exist. I don't know. Peripheral tiny drips of information.
Right, that's how faith works.
Well, yeah, I mean, I went to a Catholic school for my first 10 years of my life, and that was, if anything steered me away from religion quicker, it was, I don't know what it was, it was just 10 years of that, and then I was like, it took me years to kind of almost loop back around. I'm not a religious individual, but I
asked. That's because you don't have a Batman Returns that was made just for you.
That is true. I mean, you know, I'm trying to think if there was anything, they haven't made a Star Wars for me just yet. Not quite.
What would be in your perfect Star Wars?
Well, a really long lightsaber battle. I was hoping that in Rise of Skywalker we'd have the best lightsaber fight ever, but we just didn't get it, which upset me dearly. So I'd probably say, you know, like a 15-minute lightsaber battle, but with no CGI, like actual, like in Revenge of the Sith, when Ewan McGregor and Hayden Christensen are fighting and it's done in real time, and you can watch the behind the scenes and they've actually got these pointy sticks and hitting them with each other Dixie fast, and it's cut really well.
You were my brother.
Well, yeah, I mean, I do love that film. So even those bits, there are definitely flaws. I can't say I love Attack of the Clones as much as I love Revenge of the Sith, but I think that there would have to be
that wasn't an attack. That was letting you know I know that moment.
I'm not saying you're attacking me. It's okay. I don't want to come across as defensive when I talk about prequels. I'm just always ready to go. Yeah, but that is one of my favorite scenes in any movie ever, is when that whole scene on Mustafar from Padme getting off the ship and talking to Anakin all the way to the end when Obi-Wan leaves him just burning on the pile. That whole sequence is just, love it. So for me, the perfect Star Wars film, it would be a really big lightsaber battle. I keep saying battle, fight. I absolutely love when films get dark. And Revenge of the Sith, for me, is the darkest of the Star Wars films. Obviously, he kills children, so it's pretty dark.
I know. Within 10 seconds. Like, how is that your first move?
I know. It's mental.
His first move should have been to kill Jar Jar. That would have just pleased all the fans. It would have been the right move to make for the character. And it wouldn't have been like, wait, he took the dark side oath and killed children, like, first. Like, he didn't even have any qualms about it.
No, it's just Sidious told me to go and show no mercy. Okay, so I'll hunt down and kill children. So you probably could have left the clones to do that, let's be fair.
Right.
There's some unarmed 8-year-olds in a room.
Do you ever watch Robot Chicken?
I keep meaning to because it gets referenced so often.
Well, it's like hilarious, and it's for nerds. And there's this one moment where they have Anakin come back and say, I killed all the younglings, and Palpatine's like, what? They were children. Like, you killed them? They were young. We could have trained them to be on the dark side. Like, what were you thinking?
Oh, that's amazing. I keep hearing Robot Chicken get referenced, and I keep meaning to watch it, but it's just, I think I'm going to get, most things I watch now I have to watch with Megan, because, you know, we live together and we're dating, so it's kind of life.
If you live together, I think you're beyond the dating point.
Well, yeah, I mean, dating is, well, we're boyfriend and girlfriend. I've been dating for like 2 years, but, you know, it's basically we're in between dating and engaged, because we're not engaged or anything like that. So it's just, I don't know.
Why is that, Mike?
Why is that? Because we don't have a house yet. She knows the answer. There's nothing. I've said to her, as soon as we get a house, like, we're saving up. Once we get a house, then dogs and babies and weddings, all that other jazz, that will then come more to the forefront. It's like, we need to save money, get a house and buy one, because we're just living in a rented flat at the moment. And I said, once we've bought a house, once we are living in the house, free game, everything else. So she knows.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you on the spot, but you just left yourself open for it.
Oh, no, it's fine. I've unfortunately, one of my biggest problems is I have an answer for almost everything, which, some rehearse, some not, but that one is...
Okay, I have a question for you.
Go.
Who's the latest Catwoman?
The latest Catwoman was Zoe Kravitz, if that counts.
It does. Technically, I just want to see if you remembered.
Yeah, technically it's Anne Hathaway, if we're being specific, because the...
Because the movie hasn't come out yet.
So, or if you want to get really, really specific, I'm pretty sure that the Catwoman in Arkham Knight or Arkham City, I think that game came out after Dark Knight Rises. So it would actually be that one.
I'm certain it did come out after that.
Yeah, I'm pretty certain that Asylum came out between Begins and Dark Knight. And I think City came out after all three. Because I think Arkham Knight only came out recently. Anyway, so I did remember. And I'm going to remember that forever now. That's one of those things with me, is that as soon as I put on the spot about something, and then I remember it, that's it. I'll remember it forever. Don't you worry. We do a podcast like 10 years, and you can ask me.
Right.
What's the Catwoman reference? And I'd be like, Zoe Kravitz. There'd be 50 Catwomen by then. Maybe right. The multiverse will have opened up, and we'll have hundreds of different Catwomen. Michelle Pfeiffer will come back. You'll have all of them. Well, that'd be a good film, wouldn't it? To open up the multiverse. Well,
potentially. I mean, they had an opportunity to make an excellent Catwoman film, and they decided, nah, let's go with Cat Hooker instead.
And lots of basketball. With the DC movies, I've heard that, you know, one of the big issues with DC was that they made the Arrowverse, I think it's called now. So there was the Arrow and the Flash and Supergirl, League of Tomorrow. And I think there's something else that I'm forgetting. I haven't seen any of them. But that came out. And then,
Arrow is the best live action Batman television series you'll ever watch.
I've heard it's good, but I'm probably bluntly never going to watch it because it's far too many episodes and far too many seasons.
The problem is they're taking Batman stories and making them Oliver Queen stories.
Oh, so they're using original content from Batman and just pushing
it. Like, what if it happened to Oliver Queen instead? Like, it's really awesome, but it's Oliver. It's not Bruce Wayne. Like, I realize they have a lot of parallels with their upbringing and, you know, they're both incredibly wealthy and charming and maybe don't have the best history with women. But Oliver Queen has his own stories. You should have stuck with those.
Yeah, well, I've heard now what they've said is basically because they're initially going to make it all canon, kind of like Marvel have done. You know, all the Netflix Marvel shows are canon into the MCU and things. And it's like, because DC didn't do that, and then obviously you've got the Nolanverse, and then you've got you've got the Nolanverse, which is just the three Nolan Batman films, and then you've got obviously the other Batman films came before that, which aren't connected to anything, and then you've got the games and the comic, and then the Arrowverse. There's so many, and then they make Joker, and they're like, oh no, Joker's nothing to do with any of them, and then now they're probably going to retcon that and somehow get involved with everything else. They've actually said at the recent DC fandom thing that there are. Each of those things are in their own canon, but they are in their own universes, and I'm pretty certain they named them now. So I think that I'm hoping what could happen is down the line there could be some sort of crazy crossover event. Which...
Well, I'm here for it.
Yes, that's going to be made for you, the Catwoman crossover event. There's every Catwoman to make up for the damage that the Halle Berry
did. You know, the problem was I was excited about the idea of Halle Berry, this beautiful, talented actress playing Catwoman. And then that movie happened.
Yeah, it became the greatest superhero movie of all time.
Really? What's your favorite scene?
The basketball scene with like 58 cuts in it.
Don't even know what you're talking about because I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it either.
Is there a basketball scene, really?
Yeah, I watched this... As YouTubers, there's honest trailers of things, which if it's a film I'm never going to watch, I'll watch it. Otherwise, I normally only watch them when I've seen the film. But there's also a channel called Cinema Sins that does everything wrong with films.
I'm very well versed with both of those.
Yeah, so am I. So if there's a film that I'm never going to watch and I'm never going to watch it, like Catwoman, I'll often watch the Everything Wrong With, so I have a vague idea of the film, enough to talk to people about it, and normally agree with the critiques they have without actually watching it. And that's Catwoman's one of those. So I just know...
So the Batman and Robin film, I've never seen it, but I did watch Chris Stuckman's review of it, which is on point. And it's everything I need to know. I already knew I didn't want to watch it, but because I knew he was going to tear this movie apart, I was like, I'll sit through that. I can sit through 20 minutes of him destroying the movie instead of an exactly. hour and a half of watching it.
Yeah, precisely. I mean, it's one of the things, I'm devastated they have not yet released a Cats, Everything on Cats yet. I'm genuinely devastated. I've been waiting for it since I've seen Cats.
And see, I don't even know that I could sit through 20 minutes of What's Wrong With It, because no, that just looked awful.
You didn't manage to watch any of it?
No. Even as a cat lover, as a cat woman, it was, I cannot do that to myself.
Well, I saw the whole film in the cinema in its entirety, and...
Why?
Because I love my girlfriend too much, clearly. She hated it. She thought it was one of the worst films she'd ever seen in her life. But what happened was, her and her mum love musicals, and I've been trying to get more into musicals, because before meeting her, I wasn't really into them, so we've been watching loads of musicals and stuff. And Cats is a film that she watched a lot when she was younger, watched the DVD standard on stage version, and her mum loved it as well. And so when the Cats movie got announced, before all the bad press hit it, we all agreed we'd go see it together. We often will go see a film with her mum if her mum wants to take her mum to the cinema and stuff. And so we went and saw Cats as a treat, and it got about 25 minutes in, and then me and Megan were just like, how is this film this bad? And then Megan said to me, if we weren't here with my mum,
we would leave. Out. Yeah.
But we couldn't leave her mum there.
Like, so how do you have Judi Dench and Idris Elba in a movie and it's terrible?
I know. And it's just... And then I was like, oh, well, Jason Derulo, I hate him, but he's an artist. Surely he can make some sort of vague music. And then it's like, oh, this is the worst part. Second worst part. That film is one of those films like it's so bad. There's films like The Room that are hilarious because they're so bad, it's funny. And there's other films that are just atrocious but kind of fun to watch because they're so silly. Mm-hmm. Cats is actually beyond that. It's so bad, it's not even a joke anymore. It's beyond even being able to make a joke about it. Like, people have said to me, they're like, oh, have you seen Cats? And I go, yeah. And they go, how bad is it? Like, it's probably the worst film I've ever seen in my life, bar probably one. And they go, oh, shall I watch it for a joke? And I go,
no.
Don't even... I was like, it's not even funny, that's the problem. It's not, haha, this is so shit. It's like, this is atrocious. And it's all musical. And I'm not
fan. Don't put this in your head. Like, don't do this to your soul. What's the other movie that you think might be worse?
It's called Fear.com. And it's a horror film. It's got like either 3 or 7% on Rotten Tomatoes. And it's got the guy who played Deacon Frost in the first Blade film. Mm-hmm. I think he's a detective in it. I'm pretty certain that Lena Headey... who plays...
I know who she is.
Yeah, it was more for the listeners, but I was... Oh, sorry. There you go. I know you do. You know, there are other people listening.
I forgot. We're just in the middle of this chat. I forgot that this was for listeners.
It's only certain actors. You know, if I say, you know, Chris Hemsworth, that doesn't need clarification or in context, but her name is a weird one where even the biggest Game of Thrones fans sometimes don't even know who you're talking about. But yeah, she's in it, and so is Steven Rea, who I've only seen him in V for Vendetta, ironically playing a detective. And he's a baddie in Fear.com. And me and the guys watched it knowing it was going to be bad. And we watched about 15 minutes of it. And it was so awful, we couldn't even finish it. And that's rare for me. And we skipped to the end and watched the last 10 minutes. We thought, maybe the end is just not quite as bad. And it's just even worse. It just deteriorates as it goes on. It upsets me even thinking about it. I've spent any time watching that film. That's another one. I'd say the third worst film I've made is probably Hulk. The OG 2003 Eric Banner.
It was pretty bad.
Oh, it was awful. That was the only film I've ever...
So you must not have watched Sharknado.
I haven't yet. No, I want to. But that's like... Sharknado knows it's bad. Hulk was trying to be good. Same as...
Right, yeah. That's the difference, is Hulk was trying to be good.
Yeah, and it was the only film.
And then they thought, the cinema. Hulk dogs. Like, let's try
I
that.
That's the part I walked out at. That is genuinely, when that happened, I remember because I was with my mum, because I was like a kid then. I was 10 or something, around that age. And I watched Hulk, and I was like, I was with my mum, and And she was like, this is quite, she obviously knew it was quite bad, but I was a young kid, so obviously kids often love crap stuff. And she whispered to me, and she was like, are you enjoying this? And I was like, no, this sucks. And she was like, we can leave if you want. I was like, can we? And we just left. And I bought it from, there's a shop here in England called CEX. It's just Computer Exchange. It's just cheap DVDs. You trade, you get a quid for them and they sell it for £3. It's very much like that. And they've just got DVDs everywhere. And I remember going in there, I went for a phase of going in there every weekend and buying far too many DVDs. And I remember seeing Hulk in there for 25p. And no, I think it's 10p actually, which is the cheapest DVD in their whole shop. And I was like, I remember this being terrible. Can't be as bad as I thought. And I watched the whole thing, and I can tell you, it's worse.
It's worse.
It gets from the dog bit. It actually manages to get worse. And I just don't even, I don't even know how it happened.
It's bad CGI and bad, just bad decisions all around. And Eric Bana was good. Like, he's a good actor. I liked him, but he couldn't save the movie.
Nothing could, I don't think. Nothing. But it's funny, because around that era, you've got, you know, Spider-Man came out, and that's hailed as one of the best superhero films made, and it's cracking. And then you've got Elektra and Daredevil and Hulk. And I didn't mind Daredevil, but I haven't watched it in a very long time. But it's not good, you know? And Elektra was... That was one of those films that pissed me off, where she stabs someone and pulls the blade out and it's clean. And you're like,
what?
I know you're trying to...
And it's Elektra. She's not fluffy.
No. She's badass. And then they fortunately made her, you know, cooler, because they brought her into the MCU canon Daredevil series. But it's like... Oh, those films, the golden age, like the early 2000s superhero films.
Did you watch those Netflix films? Or not films, but the shows?
Most of them. I've seen Daredevil Series 1 and 2, Punisher Series 1, Defenders, part of Iron Fist, but I stopped that. It was horrendous.
That was the worst of them.
Jessica Jones Series 1. And Luke Cage Series. I watched Series 1 of all of them. I should have just said that. It's much easier. I saw Series 1 of all of them, except Iron Fist I couldn't finish. And then I watched Defenders, Series 2 of Daredevil, but I haven't seen Series 2 of Luke Cage, Series 3 of Daredevil, and I couldn't get through Series 2 of Jessica Jones. What about you?
I saw all of it. I watched all of it, and some of it is just, all right, I have to power through this so that I can watch Defenders, you know?
Yeah.
But I enjoyed all of them to some degree, except Iron Fist.
Yeah.
That was just terrible.
That was terrible.
The fight scene should have been the best part of that. And they were just really, really bad. And I don't blame the actors. From what I read, they would get the information the day of filming. You know, like, how are you going to prepare for a fight when you have 15 minutes to set up for this fight? Like,
badly.
They set them up to fail. So I feel badly for them, but overall, it was just seriously, okay, I need to power through this because I want to watch Defenders and I want to understand what is happening. I enjoyed Defenders. I loved Daredevil. Like, I loved watching the filming in that, like, just watching the one take fight shots.
Yes. One take, one shots are my favorite thing in media.
Right. It's worth watching it just for that.
I think series two. Yeah, in series two when he's with Punisher and it's the stairway. Where I think him Punisher fight, and then they're just going down the stairs and the camera just turning and you're just watching the whole thing. It's so well done. And it's one of the things the MCU movies are lacking in. And so much I love a lot of the action scenes, it annoys me in a lot of the Captain America ones where it's like, aim for the punch, cut as it's about to connect, and then cut, and then cut, and then cut. And it's like, just have a couple of people who are trained martial artists. Yeah, you can have Steve Rogers kind of have his back to the camera or whatever, but have it so that it's at least more than 1 second between cuts, because it just gets too much. Whereas you get Daredevil and you get one shot, and you just get... There's a film called The Raid 2, and that has one of the coolest one shots ever in it. The Raid is just... Have you ever heard of The Raid?
No.
They're Korean martial arts films directed by a Welshman, and I think they got pretty high reviews as well. The Raid and The Raid 2. The plot is very thin, but the guy...
But it's fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Well, funny enough, the two guys in the first Raid are actually in Star Wars as a little cameo. But it's Iko. The main guy in it, he's like a trained martial artist. So he's actually all the people in the film are actual martial artists. So when they're doing fights, they're realistic fight scenes and they don't cut because they pull their punches slightly or mm-hmm. they do make impact. And there's one scene in one of the films, I think it's in a prison yard or something, and the camera's just there. And it's there for, I think it's like 5 or 6 minutes of just people fighting with no cutting at all.
Love that. So I assume you watched Old Boy, right?
Yes, I love Old Boy.
So the hammer scene, like the hammer fight.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that scene, I'm pretty certain, influenced what happens in the raid.
Oh, really?
That scene where he gets out the door and it's just a corridor full of people. That I'm pretty sure is a very big influence for the raid, because that's exactly what I was thinking of when I thought of the raid. Both in my mind was parallel, was the raid and that Old Boy scene. Obviously, the original Old Boy.
I've only seen the original. I didn't see the Americanized version.
No, I didn't bother. I didn't need to. There's no need for that, is there? All these silly remakes. The Old Boy is a classic. It's such a good, amazing film. You don't need to remake it. What you should do, okay? Special trick here. Make a HD version of it and release it in the cinema again. Make another trailer, maybe. And just tell people it's out. And you'll get loads of money for that, because people like me or you will be like, yeah, I'll go see Old Boy in the cinema again.
Right.
What a film. And you take your mates who haven't seen it, instead of spending hundreds of millions on a remake no one has ever
asked. Exactly. It's all profit at that point.
Exactly. People need to listen to me more when it comes to filmmaking. Some millennial in England. That's what they need to do. But yeah, oh, I realise that it's getting towards the end now, so I'll leave momentarily. You've been very generous with your time. But I was going to say, the Star Wars film, my ideal Star Wars film, big lightsaber battle, fun droid companion, probably a sassy one, like C-3PO, but better. You know, K2SO probably from Rogue One is pretty on point. Darkness to it, so probably a character going evil. I love that sort of thing, or evil character going good, either or. But also getting more in-depth about the Force, like just weirdness. Like in the series and the comics and stuff, it goes into weirdness of the Force and all kinds of craziness, and I just like that. I like pushing the belt out and getting crazy with things rather than just sticking with what's safe all the time. I'd much rather a film took wild risks. Like, that's one of the things I appreciate, I suppose, about the prequels more than the sequels, is that the sequels are all quite safe, except Last Jedi, but the 7 and 8 are quite safe and they're fun, but yeah, whereas I found the prequels took a lot more risks. And although Jar Jar was a horrendous risk and no one should ever take that again, I feel like the payoff at the end of Revenge of the Sith, for me, is worth all the crap from the other films. Even the horrendous, horrendous love scenes in episode 2 between Anakin and Padme, that when I was a kid I used to skip through and had it on VHS tape. Just none of that. No love. Just space wizards fighting.
So even the sight of Natalie Portman in that dress, you would skip it just because the dialogue was boring?
Well, the dress itself, there's... When I was a certain age, before I even really understood why Natalie Portman was attractive, I would skip all those scenes. When I understood the form of a woman, I would then skip the scenes up to the part where she's in Geonosis, because she wears that white top thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't remember who told me this. I'm sure this can't be true, but it might be. Apparently, she didn't wear a bra in that scene because George Lucas said that there's no bras in space, which I'm sure he didn't say that.
Yeah,
I doubt
that.
Because surely if he did say that would now be some sort of outrage culture thing. I mean, even then it would be, it's not really the right thing to say.
I've never heard that. And I don't remember if she was wearing a bra in that scene.
I do, and she wasn't. But, you know, I don't want to clarify. I sounded like such a little perv when I was younger. Star Wars for me, for full clarity for anyone who doesn't know, I have no feelings of arousal to any part of Star Wars. To me, it's like, even Princess Leia in the bikini. When I watched that, I was so young, I was like, oh, it's a lady who's badass with a giant slug. My brain just didn't... You know, I recognise that Natalie Portman and Carrie Fisher and Daisy Ridley are all very attractive, but for me, Star Wars, it's so separate from...
It's not about the sexiness.
No. Well, same with the MCU. I mean, Scarlett Johansson is one of my biggest female crushes ever, and I think that she's unbelievably stunning, but I think she's one of the most sexy when she actually wears suits. But like, I've seen, if she has a suit on, ooh, kills me. But when I see her in Black Widow and loads of tight stuff, I'm like, yeah, she looks cool, but that's Black Widow, okay? She's badass.
Yeah.
So I've got that weird disconnect. I'm not saying I do it with all.
I don't know. There's every once in a while you get a shot of her from behind, and it's like, I don't know if that was intentional, but it got my attention.
the way I would describe it always a lot of the time is when I see Black Widow from behind, I'm never like, that shouldn't be in it. How outrageous.
And I'm not just talking about her behind. I'm talking about her shape, you know, the whole hourglass of her in the outfit from behind. I just realized it could sound like I'm just talking about her, but I'm not.
I was.
I think she has an excellent ass. But I was referencing the whole behind view.
Package. Yeah. I've said it before, because I remember when Megan Fox was like, everyone was obsessed with her being in everything. And when Jennifer's Body came out, and I haven't seen it, but she's in her lingerie a lot and that sort of stuff. And I remember, this is when I was a teenager, and a lot of the guys were like, oh my God, have you seen Jennifer's Body? You know, Megan Fox is hot in it, blah, blah, blah. And I've always kind of had this mindset, and it makes it sound like such a tool saying it, but it's like, I watch films for them to be good. Like, there's something called the internet, and you could find many naked pictures online. If I wanted to see a woman who looked like Megan Fox naked, I would just go do that. Like, what?
Like, my idea of eye candy in a movie is great cinematography, you know?
Well, yeah, but on the same token, I'm never going to complain. You know, if I saw a scene where Scarlett Johansson is undressing and she's in lingerie, I'm never going to complain about that being in a film, because I'm a heterosexual man, so seeing that makes me happy. But I'm not going to watch a film for that. Whether or not that part is in the film is irrelevant, you know?
It's not what draws you there, but that doesn't mean you don't appreciate it when you see it.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I'm very happy that she is Black Widow, because she's a very attractive and sexy woman, and that's obviously part of Black Widow's appeal is because she can trick guys. You know, she can be that spy. She can be the Red Sparrow, almost, I think the term is. Like, Russian sleeper agent who sleeps with men and then kills them, whatever. So I do appreciate that, but it's not a big deal for me. But we'll wrap up now, because you've been very generous with your time. Are there any final thoughts before we close this up?
No, this has been really fun and a nice break from all the negativity in the world. I enjoy just chatting about movies that make me happy.
Well, that's good. Yeah. And apart from my atrocious hosting, which I'm sure when we next chat, I'll be a lot better with...
He assumes there'll be a next chat.
Ooh, shots fired. When you're a big star, I'll shit talk you on the internet. That's what I'll do. I'll record this part and I'll be like, Tonya Todd, you don't know.
And I will write the most awesome Star Wars scene and not invite you to the premiere.
That would absolutely destroy me.
I would never do that.
Good. I'm never going to...
Or I'll invite Megan.
Just invite her, and then she just goes off. It's like, oh yeah, I'm going to get to meet all the people. Somehow Mark Hamill's still alive. Go meet him. It's like,
no, the best would be to write this awesome scene with this 15-minute fight scene and then have them break out into song.
They break out, and then the crossover, cats come into it. And then it's... Oh. But yeah, I just want to clarify, don't ever watch Cats. I mean...
I have no intention of doing
it's
so.
It's not worth the 2 hours. It's genuinely not.
As much as I love Judi Dench, and I would have said I'll watch her in anything, probably not this.
No, don't do that. But yeah, I mean, we'll definitely have to do this again sometime. Next time I'll have maybe a bit more plans and notes and stuff. But
yeah, well, let's have a structure and decide what movies ahead of time.
I did have a vague idea before we started, but I kind of... I don't know. Sometimes it's fun. I had a nice compliment a little while ago, and someone said to me, one of the things they like the most about my podcast is that I'll have a couple of footnotes, but if people go on tangents, I don't rein them in that much, which is a nice compliment. Obviously, certain interviews, there has to be subject matter, but ones where I'm more familiar with another individual, it's a lot easier for me to just, you know, back and forth and stuff.
But that's what makes it genuine chit-chat, is that it's not a structured conversation. It's, let's just see where this leads.
Exactly. And there's some of the, and most of my most fun conversations are ones where I don't really plan much. I just chat with someone who's cool. So that's what today was. So thank you so much for coming on once again. What I'll do is I'll include a link, the blog post that I didn't read. I'll put them in the show notes. I've made a note about that so everyone else can read them.
And for the record, don't report me for using photos that I don't own, because it was before I started learning about blogging and all of that.
Okay, so that's the disclaimer. That's, you got to make sure, guys. Support Tonya Todd. She's brilliant. And I've put a note as well, The Order of Time, the book as well. So I'll put that in the show notes as well. But aside from that, it's been a pleasure, and we'll stop this conversation now.
Thank you.
And that's the end of the podcast. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. As I said in the intro, be sure to check out Tonya's website in the description, and check out episode 97 of Genuine Chit Chat, where Tonya and I had a more politically fueled superhero discussion. Me and Tonya have also discussed her coming on the show again. It won't be quite as quick as it was last time, because obviously this is episode 101, and when she was on it was 97, so it was a pretty short space of time and things. But we have got plans to come on again, and maybe have Megan in the show as well, so we'll kind of go from there. But just so you know, this isn't the last that you've heard of Tonya Todd on this show. Coming up, I have got a podcast recorded with a gentleman called Jared Speed that I'm very excited to release. I spoke with him on Monday. I went over his house, and he's an absolutely very gracious host, and he's got a couple of dogs that were quite cute as well, and he's a very, very interesting individual. I was meant to do a podcast with him at the start, or more close to the start of the year, but because of lockdown, we ended up rescheduling, and then the weather was horrendous, and we didn't want there to be like a storm or loads of wind going while we were recording and things, so we just postponed it until we were both happy with it. And we had a really good chat. I'm definitely going to have him on again. And he basically owns a float lab, which, if anyone listens to Joe Rogan, you'll know what a float lab is. Essentially, there's flotation tanks, also called isolation tanks. You go in a body of salt water, it adjusts to your sort of general temperature. The pod closes, so you can't see anything, you can't hear anything, you can't almost feel anything, and you have this incredible, relaxing experience. We speak about it quite a lot on the podcast. It may be the next one I release, or it might be one after that. Because I do have a podcast recording with a gentleman who I was connected to via Bruce Wozniak of Now Hear This, who's the same individual who introduced me to Tonya Todd. And this individual is an author, and we've had to reschedule a couple of times due to scheduling issues, essentially, nothing bad. And so I'm hoping he's going to be on the show on Wednesday coming. So I believe that he's promoting something. So if that is the case, then I'll probably have his episode released first, and then I'll probably have Jared Speed's episode released as well. I do still have those two episodes recorded, the one with Janine Mercer and the one with Scott Weatherly of 20th Century Geek, Janine Mercer being of the Odd Entity podcast. I'm going to release them at some point, but neither Scott or Janine are really fussed about when they're going to get released. There's no pressure in that regard, so I'll release them when, or as and when, essentially. They're the ones I've got due for recording. Also, there's a new show called Comics on Trial, which is airing on the Comics in Motion feed, which is where my Star Wars podcast is found. And that's basically a new format, which is there's a prosecutor, there's a defendant, and there's the judge, essentially. And it's just three people discussing a film or some sort of event or something like that in the comic realm. The first one released was Tony Farina, Chris Phelps, and Dave Horrocks. And they're basically Chris and Dave of Comics in Motion, and Tony has been on the show before and is of Indie Comic Spotlight. They were talking about the 2003 film Hulk, which I remain is one of the worst films ever made ever. In fact, I spoke about it in this podcast, and essentially Tony was defending it, Chris was trying to prosecute, and Dave was like the decider. And I'm going to be on Monday, which is when I'm recording it. I don't know when it's going to be released specifically, but I think it'll be in the next couple of weeks, that I'm going to be defending Star Wars The Phantom Menace, which is quite a hard push for someone who loves Star Wars as much as I do, and I do genuinely enjoy Phantom Menace. It is a very, very flawed film, so it's going to be quite a hard one to defend, but we shall see how that all goes. So that's what I've got due for recording over the coming times, and I've also got a chat with Goff of Beer Nuts Productions. He's been on the show like three times before. He's a blind filmmaker from Australia, and he's a lot of fun to chat with. So I think that's being recorded on Saturday, so his episode will probably be released around the same sort of time that Jared Speed's will, as will the upcoming one I've got next week too. So that's what you can kind of look forward to. I've got, once I've recorded with Goff and with the other gentleman next week, it means that I should, in theory, have enough to last me like 2.5+ months. So quite a lot of things there on the sort of pipeline and whatever, and collaborations and that sort of jazz as well. So that's basically what you can look forward to for Genuine Chit Chat. Now, the last thing I want to speak about, apart from saying to all of you, you know, follow on social media at Genuine Chit Chat, review on iTunes, all that usual jazz, and share, because word of mouth is so helpful to this show, and I really appreciate it when people do share it to other people. The back catalogue has got so many things in there, so many different guests, so many different subjects spoken about, that you're bound to find someone who's going to find something enjoyable in it. So be sure to show people, especially if people aren't really into podcasts and they kind of want a way in. I like to think that my show is quite a good doorway, especially because a lot of the people I speak to are also podcasters, so it can kind of help the podcasting portfolio. But that's all I'm going to say in that regard. The last thing to talk about is what I speak at the end of each of these episodes, which is my second podcast, Star Wars Comics in Canon. It is on the feed of Comics in Motion, as I previously stated when I was talking about Comics on Trial. I've done regular collaborations with Comics in Motion, and there's going to be many more in the future, no doubt. And essentially, I just did my 25th episode. It was a Q&A episode, so a question and answer episode. I answered sort of audience, maybe some of you guys who listen to this show also listen to that, and if any of you send me questions, I do really appreciate it. And essentially, I answer questions about what comics I think are good for beginners, what I believe should be good from the comics to go on big screen, what things that are in the Star Wars universe that I'd like the comic treatment, some of my favourite things with the comics, to do with the... I also spoke about the animated series for Star Wars, Resistance, Rebels and Clone Wars, and which are the best ones to talk about that. Lots of sort of those sort of questions. So even if you're not that into Star Wars, the questions I answer are kind of... to do that. It's quite a good introduction in a lot of ways, actually. So if you're interested by that, go check that out. And the other episodes are basically each week I venture into a different comic. It's either going to be a volume of a longer run of comics, or it's a mini series, or it's a one shot. I've done ones about Chewbacca, and I talk about his family and stuff. His little son, Lumpy. Lumpawaru is his son's name, which is adorable. There's also the Han Solo, Princess Leia and Lando comics. There's loads of them. There's Darth Maul, there's Kylo Ren, there's lots of them have got little mini series, and there's a lot of main runs like Darth Vader and the main run of Star Wars comics, which are set between episodes 4 and 5, so that gives a lot more detail and backstory into those characters and things. So a lot of cool things there. And then for episode 26, which will be out next Saturday, it's going to be an episode all about Count Dooku, because a lot of people have asked me about Dooku and like, when did he go bad, you know, in the Phantom Menace he's never mentioned, and then suddenly he's bad in Clone Wars, but people don't really know he's bad, and then, you know, well, that's in Attack of the Clones, and then in Clone Wars he's really bad, and then obviously Revenge of the Sith he gets killed. So it's like, what's all this about? So there's a couple of books and an audio drama and a few other bits and pieces about Dooku. So if you're interested in knowing some backstory about Dooku, generally the episodes of Star Wars Comics and Canon are around half an hour to 40 minutes long. So a bit shorter than Genuine Chit Chat usually. The Q&A episode was almost an hour long, but that's a Q&A special. All the other ones are more sort of bite-sized things. So I just talk about the narrative of the comic, connections to other things, and then normally give little bits of profile about characters. So like the Chewbacca comic I did, the start of it, I spoke about Chewbacca, his age, his family, lots of little other fun facts about Chewbacca before doing the narrative side. But I just kind of talk about what happens in the comics to a degree. They're great if you want to read the comics and read along with it, so I connect all the dots and things a lot more, especially with other comics. Or if you have no interest in reading the comics, or you can't afford to, or any other reason you don't want to read the comics, it's a good way of me explaining the narrative of things without you having to fork out all that money or spend all that time. So that's my other show, Star Wars Comics and Canon. Really proud of it. I'm happy I've hit the 25th episode. I've been doing it for now like half a year, which is basically since the start of COVID, so that's interesting. And I'm really proud of it. Any of you guys who want to go over there and listen to it, I can see the numbers are growing and growing and growing, which is always great to see. But I really appreciate anyone checking out this show and anyone checking out that show. You know, it means the world to me, and it's one of the many reasons I keep on doing it. So thanks to all you guys. Just random milestones of Genuine Chit Chat being the 100th episode, which is around the 152nd release or something, and Star Wars Comics and Canon being the 25th episode. So 3 years of Genuine Chit Chat, half a year of Star Wars Comics and Canon. Let's hope to increase that many, many more years to come. So that's going to be it from me, guys. Thank you so much for listening, as always. I really, really appreciate it. And I'll talk to you guys next week with not quite a mystery guest, but we'll see who I end up releasing.